Hello, everyone. Welcome to Michael and the True Podcast. My name is Belinda, and today's date is February the 6th, date of recording, February the 6th, 2022. And today's episode is entitled Episode 19, News and Views Number 6. The description. Of course, the new year has just passed. Happy belated new year. This is the first episode of the year, and there are things I want to discuss. The milestones happening this year, MJ in the musical, John Branca, the future of the fan community, Michael's family speak, Michael's friends speak, and the Michael versus Beyonce nonsense should cease now. You can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. The best way to contact me is through email. Michael and the True at gmail.com. I'm also on social media. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Facebook is Michael and the True Podcast. Instagram is at Michael and the True Podcast. Twitter is at Woman Focus. And YouTube is Michael and the True. So, the beginning of the year, it wasn't January, but the reason why I'm doing this now is because I did record an episode in January. And things changed. The episode was done. It was ready to go. It was going to be uploaded literally the following day. And I went on Twitter. And I had to change everything. So this is a re-recording of the original episode. So this is a new recording. Okay, so a lot of things happened beginning of this year and the end of last year. Let's focus on a few people who knew Michael that passed away, such as Sidney Poitier. Betty White did an episode of The Jackson Show. Meatloaf met Michael and other things. Okay, so maybe all rest in peace. That includes Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, John Madden. So, Virgil Abelard and Yannick Allain were two people that did some stuff for Michael or knew Michael and worked with Michael. So, let's start with Virgil. Died suddenly November 29, 2021. That was last year. I'm going to quickly read this tribute to him, and then we move on to Yannick. Fashion designer Virgil Abelard has died after suffering from cancer, which has been announced. The 41-year-old, who was the creative director of Louis Vuitton and Off-White, had cardiac angiosarcoma, a rare aggressive form of the disease, according to the announcement on his official Instagram page. "We are devastated to announce the passing of our beloved Virgil Abelard," it said. "He chose to endure his battle privately since his diagnosis in 2019, undergoing numerous challenging treatments, all while hemming several significant institutions that span fashion, art, and culture. Through it all, his work ethic, infinite curiosity, and optimism never wavered. Virgil was driven by his dedication to his craft and his mission to open doors for others and create pathways for greater equality in art and design. He often said, 'Everything I do is for the 17-year-old version of myself,' believing deeply in the power of art to inspire future generations. Abelard redefined the idea of the modern fashion designer, adding DJ, artist, and furniture designer to his creative arsenal. After training as an architect, he started designing clothes in 2012. His first design, a screen print of Ralph Lauren's rugby shirt, set the tone for his future work, a postmodern art stunt calm fashion piece. Collaborating with everyone from Nike to IKEA, Perrier to Mercedes-Benz, he took fashion into arenas where it had not gone before, cross-pollinating it with other fields. The fashion purists were not amused, he told in 2019. "When I was showing in Fashion Week, people were saying that's not fashion." In 2013, he founded his own label, Off-White, and was appointed the head of menswear design at Louis Vuitton in 2018. He was the first black designer at Vuitton and the most visible black designer in fashion. In January 2019, Abelard designed a massive collection for Louis Vuitton, inspired by Michael Jackson, in conjunction with the King of Pop's estate. The premiere of the collection took place in Paris and was an absolute event with white glove invitation. In February 2019, he released a few designs of his own label, Off-White, with Michael Jackson imagery. However, due to leaving Neverland, Louis Vuitton decided to shelve the collection. However, despite Louis Vuitton's decision, Virgil Kendall designs for Off-White on sale, showing his support to the King of Pop. Bernard Arnault, chief executive of Louis Vuitton, MH, owner of both Off-White and Louis Vuitton, said in the statement, "Virgil was not only a genius designer, a visionary, he was also a man with a beautiful soul and a great wisdom. He is survived by his wife Shannon and his children Lo and Gray. Rest in peace, Virgil, and thank you for your amazing designs." You know. Unlike certain people, he did the right thing and kept Michael's designs on his other clothing line. So I can never have any disrespect for him. May he rest in peace. It was a shock when it was announced he passed away. I thought it was a lie, but it was true, and that's messed up. Another shock was the passing of Yannick Allien. Yannick Allien was one of Michael's bodyguards. Now, we found out about his passing. I found out on, I believe, Facebook. His wife stated that he passed away. I later found out, days later, that his cause of death was cancer. Okay, I'm going to read to you what MJ5 said about him. Very important stuff. So let me read this to you. Yannick was Michael's bodyguard during the 90s and was a true advocate to the King of Pop. Caroline Allien, his wife, announced on social media that Yannick passed away at that time yesterday, but I'll say the date, January 23rd, 2022. The cause of death is unknown. Like I stated, is cancer. Yannick leaves behind his wife, Caroline, and his daughter, Terdine. Dream. Yannick was more than a bodyguard to Michael Jackson. In 2009, he said, "My first time in the material room wasn't for my son, but for Michael. Michael invited us to stop by the room to introduce Prince to me and Wayne. We both gave him a hug and congratulated him, and all he remembered was the look on Michael's face, the look of absolute pride. I've never seen him look so calm and at the same time so safe and happy without saying a word. At that moment, I think I felt the kinship of manhood that only comes from becoming a father. A wonderful moment. He was also on the Dangerous World Tour during the history era, and even dressed up as Baloo at Disneyland Paris to entertain Michael's guests." Okay. Originally from Los Angeles, Yannick graduated from CSUN with a degree in kinesiology and pediatrics in 2001. He ran for Fairfax High School in Santa Monica College before he transferred to CSUN. He was also the head of women's track and field and cross-country coach at Los Angeles Valley College from 2006 to 2013 and was the assistant coach in charge of the men's and women's sprints and relays there from 2001 to 2005. He coached the 4x100 relay team to All-American honors in 2011 and 2012, and the 4x400 team All-American status in 2012. The women's team finished 6th at the state meet in 2011 and 9th in 2012. Yannick was also a true MJ advocate and may have been contacted by Taj Jackson to be on his docuseries. It's unknown if the two men met and or recorded interviews. And our condolences to his friends and family. Definitely, our condolences to him and his family. May he rest in peace, and we thank him for what he did for Michael. Milestones that's happening in this year is a lot of them. Of course, the 30th anniversary of the Remember Time, the Dangerous Tour, the Dance of Your Dream, the book. 50 years since his first solo album was released, that passed already. 40 years since Thriller and 35 years since Bad. You know that the biggest milestone for Michael's career, or this year, will be the 40th anniversary of Thriller. And we're going to be ready for that one. Okay. But the main thing that we're going to talk about that's dealing with his legacy right now is the Broadway play. Now, I told y'all on Facebook and last year and in 2019, we found out that I was not interested in the play. Why? Because I really don't care what the estate executives do for Michael's legacy. Depends on what it is. And Broadway's not really my thing. And also, the when it was revealed who was the screenwriters for the play were, this is the height of the, you know, stupid Leaving Neverland nonsense, the there were people that interviewed them, and the one of the playwrights, Lynn Nottage, stated, well, she wasn't, y'all? She wasn't familiar with Michael's innocence. That rubbed us the wrong way, and I was like automatically boycotting the play, because now we're not here to play games. You're not going to mock him and then say this nonsense. You better get your ass over there and start undoing what the stuff is about, or you can be sacked and be replaced. So I ignored it. Then the play happened. It debuted originally in December. I said, we're not going to promote it. We're going to move on. Because they kept the writer there, right? But as time went on, and people actually went to go see the play, they said it wasn't that bad. Actually, it was pretty good. So, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll let it slide. I'm not going to support it. I'm going to let it slide. And I'm still not going to, like, go out there and promote the play on my Facebook page. And this is not me mentioning it. It is, in a way, promotion. But this is, I'm not mentioning to get people to go to the play. You're going to do what you want. I'm mentioning to tell you the foolery that came with the play premiere. We got to talk about it. Because here's the thing. I'm all for Michael's legacy, good or bad. Well, not bad, but all Michael's legacy when it comes to honoring him. But what we're not going to do, we're not going to sit here and tolerate. I mean, I often tell people to ignore the media. But we're not going to sit and tolerate people that are going to sit here and say, well, why are you not going to talk about this or that? First of all, the play was set in 1992, before the first extortion attempt in 93, where Michael is rehearsing for the Dangerous Hour. And there's some things about it that probably didn't happen. I don't know. I didn't see the play. But, okay, if you do your history, you know your history, you know that the 1993 extortion attempt did not happen until 1993. That's the first one, okay? So, when you have these mainstream media people seeing this, knowing this is going on, and they knew this for years, so why are they acting surprised is beyond me. It is another way of fake outrage. They knew a Broadway play was happening. That wasn't news. They knew. So, don't fall for their fake outrage. They knew. Now, they're getting mad. And I say, hey man, I'm all for the mainstream media mad that they lost. Remember, in 2019, they wanted to cancel Michael. They wanted Michael to get the hell out of here. We gonna make sure you don't have a legacy. But they must have forgot that they were the ones that created this on him. They didn't, you know, Michael didn't say, hey, call me this and that. Y'all created that on him. So, dumbasses do. They unsuccessfully canceled Michael, but it actually made him more popular. As the movie started to become what it is, a piece of shit and a bunch of nonsense, not one member of the mainstream clown media ever reported any of the inconsistencies from that trash. Now, they want to come here and hijack unsuccessfully the play with the nonsense. So, you know, TMZ want to start a mess, but I told you that Harvey Levin, I'm going to tell you now. If I didn't tell you before, I didn't say on my blog, or I didn't say on Twitter, I'm telling you now. Harvey Levin was the main one wanting Michael to be axed out of history. He was the main one making sure that nobody celebrated Michael at Leaving Neverland. And rumor has it, he helped fund that trash movie, if true. I am not taking back anything I said because I believe it's true. A person like him is always in a business of destroying anybody, any black person that's better than him. Legacy doesn't exist to Harvey Levin. He doesn't have a legacy. He's a degenerate. So he's going to destroy others who do have a legacy, who he feels shouldn't have one because he says so. He's a nobody. Don't fall for, oh, he likes this particular family member, or he this and that. Debbie Rowe, the mother of Michael's older children, and Harvey Levin have been friends since the 80s. Don't ever think that Harvey Levin and Debbie Rowe ain't talking on the phone discussing what needs to be told. Debbie is out here trying to get Michael back too. Don't ever think she in on his side. She not. Don't think of Harris talking to Debbie, that means that Michael, she's on that Michael's side. No, she ain't. If you know better, you know Debbie has never been on Michael's side. Don't let the trial mess fool you. She testified for him because Tom Mezzo had things on her ass. That's why she testified and did a 360 on the prosecution, because Tom Mezzo was going to destroy her. And somebody let, in my opinion, somebody let Debbie know that. And Debbie did a 360. Debbie only cares about how she looked like to the public. She don't care about Michael. I'm not going to say it again. So if she really cared about Michael, she would have told Harvey Levin to stop. And name me a time she ever told Harvey Levin to stop coming at this dude. Never. So don't fall for it. Okay? Everybody, mama know Michael is not a child molester. This is a PR stunt that, this is a stunt that media created to cover up for their actual predators. Because they know the police is not touching these predators that's in the entertainment business. So they want to bully, sully his name and destroy his name because, you know, he's a bigger target. And he's black. And his image-wise, is to destroy the image of black people. That's the only reason why they do what he do to him. You know, John Ziegler said, this is bigger than Michael Jackson. Oh, he's not lying. It is. This is not about child abuse. It never was. The child abuse is the cover-up for what they're trying to do is rob Michael blind. And rob him all his money. And make sure he never make it. This is the way to do it, is to lie on him. Go look at history, how history do black people wrong. Every black humanary had this problem. Okay? You know, so when the FBI cleared Michael, that wasn't enough. These demons do not care about, and the media do not care about the truth. They never did. They care about destroying legacies. They'll use anybody. They'll pay people to do it. Because the whole point is to cover up for certain people. You know, Michael did not have power to change anything. Power, if he had power, we wouldn't be talking about this. David Bowie had power because nobody brought up the fact he supposedly has accusers out there when he was alive. Nobody even brought this up at all. We found out when he died. Now you call it out, they call you a troll. How? The accusations are out there, but they're not going to dwell on it the way they do on Michael, because that means that's their faith. They're not going to let you ever say he did these things. So they don't care about child abuse. They never did. They only care about child abuse or any abuse dealing with that the accuser is a black person when the accuser is a black person. When the accuser is a white person, they don't give two craps about child abuse. I mean, all these people hung out with Jeffrey Epstein in the media, and they all knew he was raping kids. So don't fall for their nonsense. They never will care about child abuse. Sex trafficking is happening right now. What are they doing about it? No, we give you updates on Trump all day. I mean, why? Think about these things. This is done to destroy. So, TMZ will do their nonsense and say nonsense like, well, you know, they didn't talk about the allegations because it's not about the allegations. It's about his music, which they don't want you to talk about. They don't want you to talk about his music. You know, just like with the Janis documentary, who in the mainstream media mentioned the stuff they did together? A few. They want to focus on why did Michael say that about his sister? Like, Michael cannot make fun of his family members? No, that's what TMZ wants you to talk about. They don't want you to talk about the truth, because that means that makes him look good. And Harvey Levin is not in the business of making Michael or any black person look good. Harvey Levin is in the business of destroying black icons, because he doesn't have a legacy. He's a nobody. Okay, I don't want to hear he went to law school. He went to law school for dummies. No true lawyer does a tabloid show running their mouth, talking about shit about people they don't know and can't even get a simple law something right. The FBI cleared this man. Why aren't you talking about that, lawyer? Because you're a fraud. When has he ever, what case has he tried? People need to start asking these questions. What case did Harvey Levin try? What case did any of those quack lawyers on his show try? One of them went to Harvard Law School. Well, Harvard Law School for dummies. What case have you tried that you won or lost? Because you act like brand new when it comes to this stuff. It's a game. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. A lot of people that used to work for Harvey Levin, dumbass, already told you the kind of clown he is. Go look it up. Then you have the idiots over at The Wrap. They did a vile tweet, then deleted. Ziggler saved it. MJ Broadway review. The new Michael Jackson musical whitewashes the life of a very talented pedophile. Can't wait to see Lin-Manuel's bioplay on Harvey Weinstein. Yes, I didn't know Michael Jackson was a pedophile. Thanks for letting me know, The Wrap. I know Harvey Weinstein could be, but a talented pedophile, according to who? That he was never convicted of being a pedophile. A pedophile was created by y'all in the media. So, guess what happened when they were called out? This is what these fools did. The Wrap had deleted a previous tweet about the Michael Jackson musical, MJ, because it did not meet our standards. No, it deleted the tweet because you had no business calling him a pedophile. He is not a pedophile, and it didn't whitewash anything because it's based on an event that happened in 1992, dummy, that which is his Dangerous tour. Nothing about the allegations or the extortion attempts happened in 1992, clown. So why the fuck would you sit there and post some bullshit like that? They think we slick. We ain't slick. Now it's on record. You fuckers said this shit about my man. When has The Wrap ever done right? This is the same motherfuckers that won't even do won't even call David Bowie a talented pedophile. Why not? So they act all brand new with the bullshit comment. And why did it leave the previous tweet? It didn't meet our standards. It should never have ever been posted. They did that because they knew they're gonna get sued. Now, Variety had a journalist thrown out because of silly questions his dumb ass asked him. A Variety journalist was kicked out of the red carpet premiere of the new biographical Broadway show celebrating the life and work of Michael Jackson for bringing up the topic of Michael Jackson's alleged abuse. Yeah, rightfully so. Because that's not what they're there for. You're trolling now. When you lost, you bring up nonsense. Alleged abuse. No abuse happened. Alleged or not alleged. Extortion plots. Now we're talking. This is the fool that got kicked out. His name is Michael Appelern. Last night, I was kicked at, I don't know what that stands for. At OMDKC kicked me off the MJ musical red carpet for asking basic questions about allegations against Michael Jackson. This is your Broadway, folks. First of all, asshole, you went on Twitter thinking, oh, I'm going to get sympathy points for saying this, when really, allegations that were being revealed as fraud, as lies already. But your stupid ass didn't report any of it. So somebody at Variety told your clown ass to get your ass over there and go start some shit they can't finish. Now, your ass was handed to you. You want to go on Twitter and get sympathy points. And guess what happened? Your ass is handed to you on Twitter too. Now, you saying that's your Broadway? Well, your media is trash. Broadway will honor an innocent black man. And if someone do a Broadway play on David Bowie, I'm going to protest until we figure out what is the truth. We got to do that. We got to push back. We got to figure out, if Broadway do one on Elvis, we got to push back. Did he harm these kids? If they do one on David Bowie, we got to push back. Did he harm these kids? Did they give kids drugs? If they did, stop celebrating him. But with Michael, let's go honor Michael. Because he was extorted. And that was proven already. You want to know about questions about allegations? Get your dumb ass on Twitter. On Google. Get your silly ass on Google. And research. Dummy, so-called journalist. You're not important. Nobody cares about y'all. The mainstream media lost. Everybody ain't listening to some bullshit about allegations. Allegations that never happened. How can you talk about allegations when you created them? You team up with a member of Nambula to create that shit on him. Because you don't want the nigga to win. I don't mean to say that anyway. I'm sorry, y'all. You don't want that man to win. You want your white culture vulture demons to win. They ain't winning. Nobody at the age of 10 is listening to Elvis? Show me. Who's listening to him? You know your people did it. Why don't you keep it real? Yes, this is my people. We do this shit. My people don't do that shit. And I don't consider R. Kelly my people. But you know what I mean? We don't do that. I don't care how weird my nigga is. Let him be a weirdo. That don't make him a child molester. Okay? You don't want to know the truth? We ain't telling you. We got other things to do. You want to know the truth? You Google it. Now, I need to say something else. I need MJ fans to stop getting upset over this media. I know I just went off on them because they, with their comments, they know how to push it. But we got to understand, you know, the guy who got kicked off Variety actually started reporting fans for harassment. They lost, man. You're going to report fans for harassment, but who asked you to go harass people over at the Broadway premiere? What allegation you need to talk about? He didn't do these things. We don't do that with David Bowie. Go ask people why people were still spending a man who gave children, who tried to give children drugs. Now, I don't want to keep coming at David Bowie because I don't know if the allegations are true or not about him, but why don't the media do that with him? Why don't the media do that with Elvis Presley or Steven Tyler? Because they're white. And white people don't get criticized like black people do. When Michael started taking over, running things, started owning white people's music, he was a problem to these people. And they ain't like that. They felt, well, you from Motown, you supposed to be singing and dancing. You're not supposed to be smart. That's what it is. They see all black people that way. We don't want you to be better than us. We don't want you to be our records. We want you to stay over there. Well, you can't tell people what to do. He gonna be great regardless. Look at this. Michael, 12 plus years since he passed away, we still a fan. He went to the play. It sold out. It was sold out yesterday. It was sold out Friday. It was sold out all this week. The more these idiots keep talking about this play, the more he sells out. They're promoting this play, good and bad. These weirdos are promoting this play. You can't tell people to do their money. If they want to see this guy's life story, they're going to see it, and there's not a goddamn thing they can do about it. They failed in in canceling him. They should have done what everybody else was doing and say, you know what? Let's look into I'm sorry. Let's look into his story. Let's look into why they're saying this. Let's interview the man's family members and get the real story. They didn't do any of that. Ziggler did. John Ziggler did it. Razor Fist did. Others did. Nicole Field did. Tariq Nasheed did. How come you couldn't do it? What is so important about y'all that you can't sit there and do any of the research that they did? Because you're frauds. You think you can hide behind a blue tick and say, I'm a somebody because I work for a Variety, I work for the Rap, or I'm a knucklehead on TMZ posting a picture of Michael with Brett Barnes saying Brett Barnes would join Channel when he wasn't. And when Brett Barnes told you to go remove it, you refused to remove it. But you're a journalist. You're not a journalist. You're a propagandist. You're a tabloid hack. You're a joke. You're a laughingstock. That's what you are. There's nothing journalistic about y'all. You don't research. You choose a random picture of Michael hanging out with some kid that looks nothing like Jordan Chandler and say that's Jordan Chandler. That's defamatory. But y'all don't care because you have no respect for that man. Just like they ran with the story about Michael making fun of his sister. Jada said this story years ago. She put it in context in her book. Did you idiots bring up? No, you idiots ran with that shit like he killed somebody. Because your hatred for that man sees no bounds. So much of this stuff she talked about on here, but you want to dwell on song. Even when it was stated that their boy was going to give Randy and Michael drugs. They were not even adults. None of these assholes even mentioned it. Why? Because it exposed that their boy is a creep. And they are not going to sit there and entertain it. Just like they didn't tell you he had 5 accusers when he was alive. But they made sure to lynch Michael every day over a extortion plot. That a proven extortion plot, a recorded extortion plot that turned into a horrible event that ruined his reputation forever. That's not a, they do it because he's different. They did this because he's a weirdo. They do it because he's black. No white person will ever go through what black people go through in this country. Not one. Not even Donald Trump. Now, any Donald Trump, they'll make him human. They took his humanity from him. They took everything. They showing you the humanity in the play, and you have complete grown-ass failures saying, I ain't interested. Because they want to sit here and tell you they for Black Lives Matter. But real talk, they don't care about that either. They're like, okay, I care in my head, but I will say you're a human, but this guy, no, he can't be a human being. Because I can't look past these allegations. That never happened. They hate black people. Don't ever believe them when they say, oh, Charles is here. And Charles is a sellout. Charles from TMZ doesn't like being black. I mean, he doesn't see anything wrong with people lynching black people left and right. He's right there. He has no problem with that. So using Charles as a proof, as so-called evidence that you don't like, that you have nothing against black people is laughable to me. I listen to Motown. So how many races listen to Motown? Shitloads. What does that got to do with, you don't like, what does that got to do with anything? You don't like black people. Just say it and move on. We don't want you. We don't care about you. We don't think about you. We didn't ask for your help. We don't want it. Just leave our icons alone. You won't do it. Because it's entertainment to y'all. Because black icon suffering covers what your white icons really did to people. That's what it is. Not because, you know, the man's a weirdo. That's irrelevant. It's because you don't like black people. You don't understand why he can't be like his brothers. What does that mean? He can't be himself. Michael did his job already. Michael helped people. Michael saved lives. These fools don't want to tell you that because it makes him look good. And they're not in the business of making him look good. They're in the business of continuing to paint him out to be a weirdo. It's not sticking anymore. When people are going to the play, that's an action. That tells me they're looking past the nonsense and say, man, let me go see what this is about. The more these clowns talk about this play, the more they're promoting the play. So it works in the end. That's why I don't want fans to get too upset over their comments because, yes, it is frustrating to read that, but what difference is it making? A common sense person is not going to say, okay, I won't see the play because of that. They'll say, you know what? Let me see what this is about. That's what they would do. So they're doing more harm for themselves than good for themselves. They're actually helping. But they don't see that because they're filled with hate. This is not because, we're trying to do what's right for the victims. They're not victims. Michael is the only victim here. This is because they hate his guts. You know, the clowns from Leaving Neverland lost. Even Dan Reed asked somebody to go check out their facts. Dan Reed doesn't accept facts. Facts is not part of his livelihood. Hell, facts is not part of who he is. Because if he checked facts, that movie would never have happened. But he put his reputation in the line to defend failures who did it to themselves. Nobody cares about Wade. Nobody cares about James. They're just using these two fools to destroy a black man's legacy. If they really care, go help them out. They know these clowns are not victims. You know, didn't Wade tell one of Michael's relatives, two of them, that they were thinking of doing this to him? You know, these are rotten to the core clowns whose breath stink with no upper lip. They got nothing going for them. Want to go manipulate people into thinking they were harmed when they weren't, and then go ahead and have a still do their dance nonsense and dummies still buying their shit, thinking this fool can dance. He's a Michael Jackson impersonator. He's not a dancer. He never was a dancer. Anybody that learned from him lost money. That guy who plays Michael on the Broadway play, that's a talent. You can't throw that in the trash. That's a talent. That's a talent. He may even Brad Sundberg said he got goosebumps again. That's something you can't teach that. And Michael's kids were at the premiere, which was good. You know me. I already told y'all, or I'm telling you now, the kids made deals with the estate already. So, you know, this shouldn't shock anybody. That, and they should be there. You know, they showed a union. I remember United Front. When I was watching TMZ Live and these idiots were talking about it, they made it seem like they were shocked to see the kids there. Like, aren't them? They're his children. They're going to be there. They don't have to tell you what the fuck's going on with their life. I know, Harvey, you're getting a lot of fable lies from Debbie. It's bombing your face because Debbie might have told you, well, the parents will not be there. But the rest will be there, but parents will not be there. And when you saw her there with her brothers, you were like, you probably were hesitant. Like, I was told otherwise, maybe. And then even one of them idiots were like, his name BJ now? Whatever his name is. His name is BJ, dog. You mad because you didn't expect his kids to be there? Somebody must have told you some fables. I wouldn't be surprised if Debbie's running her mouth telling, what's this fool's name? Harvey Levin, fables, and it turned out to be false, as usual. And then you got, you know, the knucklehead that commented on the dude with the ball. I don't know his name. And he gonna sit and say, well, Dangerous wasn't even his best work. A lot of fans don't think that Dangerous is his best work. According to who? Who the fuck are you talking to? You're not in our fan community, so how would you know what his best work is? He doesn't have to do, thriller every damn time he does a goddamn album. You're not one of us. So mind your own damn business. If you can't report the news correctly, then shut the fuck up. So, you know, nobody cares what they think because it's selling out. And, you know, it was good to see Michael's kids there. TJ was there. You know, and that's really it. They said that the daughter cried when she saw the when she saw the play, and she gave flowers to the boy who played her father when he was younger. So, I mean, and that was really nice, you know. So, it was good to see the family there representing their father and uncle, and hopefully, we see more of that. In the future. And also, I'm glad that the media, I'm glad that the media is fuming. I want them to fume because that tells me they have lost again, and they're going to keep losing. People are going to get up, check out the Broadway play, and they're going to say, hey, that was great. I'm going to tell everybody, you need to go check that out. That play is litty, is good, is lovely. I had a good time. And what is the media going to do? They're not going to do anything. They spent 40 years plus ruining a man's life, from lies to innuendo to allegations. How can you sit here, call yourself a human being, and team up with others to destroy a person's name and call yourself a human being? No, you are a racist. You are a white supremacist. And if you're Oprah Winfrey, you are a handkerchief head sellout. You are a self-hater. You hate yourself. That is your people. Your people who suffer. You should be remotely trashing them. You should be rooting for them. He will root for you. So, we gotta start understanding that, start getting that through our heads, because that's the only way you're gonna understand why they keep doing this to them. And they're not gonna stop. They think that people are stupid. They're going to listen to them. They're gonna find some lame celebrity with no career, like they did with that Wayne Wilson clown, with no career, who is gonna say something. So okay, say whatever you want to say. You're not gonna make us stop liking the dude. Michael's not part of Hollyweird. He's not part of their nonsense. Michael was a gift from God. And he was one of God's chosen ones. That's what he was meant to do. He did it already. We are going to celebrate him, because why not? So that's what I wanted to mention regarding the play. Next up, John Branca did an interview with the Los Angeles Business Journal around the time the play was going to be released back in December. Talked about certain things. So I'm going to read to you what was stated, and I'm going to tell you what I think. Branca told the Business Journal that over the last 12 years, he has earned $2.5 billion for Jackson's $2.5 billion for Jackson's estate through a combination of catalog deals and high-profile documentary, film, and theatrical projects. The latest of which is the Broadway play MJ the Musical begins previews December 6th. Three of those record deals rank among the biggest in the history of the recording industry, including 2010, when Sony Entertainment paid $250 million for his entire catalog, and $750 million deal in 2016 for Jackson's 50% share of what was then the Sony/ATV Music Publishing, and then when Sony re-upped in 2018 for another 7 years of rights with another $250 million contract. The film went on to become the highest grossing documentary of all time, with more than $261 million in the box office receipts. This is a film, this is it. Emboldening Branca to collaborate on Cirque du Soleil shows in Las Vegas, two documentaries about different eras in Jackson's career, the Broadway show, and an upcoming feature film Branca hopes will become, quote, the largest grossing, most acclaimed biopic in the history of Hollywood. I'm tired of this executive. Y'all, we don't want no biopic. We don't want no biopic. You know what we want? We want Michael to be protected. We don't want a biopic. Okay? We don't want that. Brocken can keep that. We don't want that. Okay? We want documentaries. We want documentaries done on Michael. We don't want a biopic. Alright? We want Michael to be protected so this shit can stop happening to him. Okay? But John Branca does not live in the real world. I need to say this, and I've been thinking about this for a while, and I have to say it. I think the days of trying to get rid of these executives, we have to let it go. I understand, like, it is hard to do that because I know personally, I invested a lot in trying to get rid of them. But like I stated earlier in this podcast, Michael's children made deals with the estate already. That was back in 2017, I think. And once, and not just them, some members of his family did too. And when Catherine did not contest the will, and she did not, she had opportunity to get rid of these executives. She knew that John Branca was someone Michael could not stand. Michael fired. She knew that. I'm not angry at Catherine for this at all. This is not to be angry at her at all. I'm just telling you what happened. She let it be. And maybe from then on, we should have accepted it. everything they did for Michael, most of the time, did not turn out right. Okay, I like the documentaries they did, the Off the Wall, Bad One, the MJ musical, of course, is a hit. The Posthumous albums were not what they're supposed to be. And we know that history. And that, to me, kind of destroyed the credibility of the estate forever. Not kind of, did destroy the credibility of the estate forever. They don't have credibility. I mean, we found out later on with the songs, they were not his vocals. They were proven to be somebody else's vocals. So I'm trying to understand, why would they allow that to happen? Only God knows. And I think is that it's allowing Michael to be lynched constantly in the media. It's why wasn't he protected when Leaving Neverland happened? You're in the same law firm as Oprah Winfrey, yet you didn't know they were doing this on him. I don't know, y'all. I think we have to accept the fact there's something terribly wrong with John. Well, I have. There's something terribly wrong with John Branca. But at the same time, we gotta let this go. How are we gonna get rid of him? You can't. Unless he croak, he might give it to his kids. How are we gonna get rid of him? And we, you know, his family isn't doing anything about it. So, what are we going to do? If we're not going to get rid of this guy, what is the point of dwelling on what he do 24/7? He's not going to see it. He's not. He doesn't care. You know. Now, he was also at the premiere of the Broadway play. When we emailed the estate executives to get rid of the playwright who didn't believe Michael's innocence, Lin Nyhaj, he didn't budge. He got one of his people to say, you know, we respect her, we respect her talent, and we want her dead. Well, then screw it. You know, saying, you know, John Rocker comparing his Michael's estate to Prince's estate, this ain't it. You know, they were friends. Stop doing this. You know, it's embarrassing, and with the Prince estate, they don't have, you know, vocals of other people singing his songs. You know what I'm saying? You can't compare. So, you know, I just need to make peace with the fact he's not going anywhere and move on. If it's defeat to some fans, then it's defeat. Because what are we going to do? He's not going anywhere. So we got to deal with it and move on. I personally don't pay it any mind. I'm just letting him be and move on. He's going to make stupid interviews. He's going to say stupid shit on the air. We just have to ignore it. If he wants to do a biopic, I'm going to ignore everything about the biopic because it's mockery. Every movie on Michael is a mockery. I don't believe, except the Jackson movie from the 90s. That's the only movie that was, to me, the most accurate about him, about his family, about his life. Everything else is a mockery, and I'm not supporting any of it. So, you know, I'm not going to see the Searching Neverland. What is that? With the Bodyguards movie. Why is it called Searching for Neverland when they never worked with him when he lived in Neverland? This is ridiculous. I mean, it's not a good view of Michael. Anyway, it makes him look like to be, he's too dependent on this lame Bill, who's a liar. For the most part, who exaggerates his stories on his time with Michael. You know, but yet, we have people that actually eat up what he says. But that's another story. You know, we don't want these movies. Who's going to play Michael? Who's going to do it like him? Is he going to find a white person? Because Michael was black. So, what games are they going to play? Who's going to write the screenplay? A person who doesn't believe in his innocence? We got to go through this stuff again like we go through it with the knuckleheads in the media huffing and puffing about the case, about the play? I think what John Branca needs to do is not dwell on the biopics, but dwell on the documentaries and forget the idea of Michael doing a biopic on this guy. What are they going to prove? John Branca manipulated his life and career, whether we want to accept it or not. And I don't like the idea of him taking the helm of this when he's going to put every kind of lie on thee about Michael and his women, making you think that Michael chose Lisa in prison. He did not. Making you think he wanted Debbie as the mother of his children. He did not. Michael had legit girlfriends that John Branca knew about and was 100% against. And yes, they are black. So, how was that aspect? John Branca doesn't even believe Michael's innocence. But yet, we have fans that actually think John Branca's on this guy's side. So, I'm not going to waste my time with some biopic. If y'all want to waste your time with that and play yourselves and get another falsehood out there about Michael, then you did it to yourselves. Because we told y'all this is a war. This is not some game. And we told y'all to get rid of this weirdo a long time ago. And y'all did not. Instead, y'all let it happen. When our man's child was out here telling you them songs, when I heard daddy's vocals, where was the defense of the marketers? Of the executors, no, they ignored it. But when she was getting ready to do her entertainment career, all of them promoted it, like you wouldn't believe. And there's a connection between that girl's entertainment career and the executors. I'm not going to waste our time on that. You can figure that out on your own. Next topic is the future of the fan community. Now, this is a problem I'm noticing in recent years that certain fans are making a mockery of Michael's life, and most notably the MJ cast. Now, I have as a fan of Michael Jackson, of course, and a fan that enjoys listening to MJ being talked about in podcasts, I've noticed with the MJ cast, they have become more and more bashing on Michael than praising Michael. I don't know why they call themselves the MJ cast and they keep trashing the guy. And I noticed red flags the last full episode I listened to, okay, that's not the last full episode. The last full episode I listened to was when that pain in the ass Charles was talking about the time he came to America because he was going to go to the Square One premiere. But after that episode, I stopped listening to MJ cast because I don't like Charles. But anyway, this one episode they did where they talked about fans were angry about what Elton John said about Michael in his book. And one of the podcasters on here, Jamon, he said that he didn't understand why fans were mad about what he said because Michael is psychologically crazy. According to who? And who are you to make a diagnosis on Michael's mental state? You know, and I realize it's those things is the nonsense I'm about to read to you right now that I think the allegations against Michael were done not only to destroy the image of black people because of his heavy influence, but also to paint Michael as a Looney Tune, a cartoon character, a complete idiot. And I'm going to read to you why I said that, why I think that's the case with this description of two episodes that the MJ cast is doing on Michael. So let's read it. With his physical appearance attracting more interest than his art, and coverage of the album's release unfortunately coincided with the biggest news event of the century, the 9/11 terror attacks, the album charted well upon release but quickly sank, receiving little promotion from either Jackson or his record label. By summer 2002, artists and label were locked in a vicious battle, with Jackson accusing Sony of sabotaging the project as part of a racist conspiracy, and the label countering that Jackson's career had been killed by allegations of child molestation. So what is Invincible's true place in Jackson's legacy? Did it deserve the critical passing it received? Have the songs aged well? Would they have fared better if they had been released at a different time? In what is bound to be one of the most controversial episodes in this podcast history, our panelists, Jamon Bull, Sean Scafield, James L.A., John Cameron, and Charles Thompson, asked the questions, asked and answered these questions and many more. Once again, we are attacking a person who suffered for no reason, Remember, the allegations against Michael were created for this very reason, to discredit him. And guess what? These fans fell for it. They know better, but yet, this is what they talking about. Physical appearance, you know that we had suffered from some kind of autoimmune disorder. He has the skin disorder that's out of his control. He had issues going on with the record label. Record label has always been racist. I mean, the music industry is racist. But because these weirdos don't understand how bad it was, they, you know, they just make assumptions. His album did do well. It would debut number one. But yes, it sank because that's what was happening to all the albums in 2001. I mean, Janet released the album in 2001. It debuted number one. And it sank down too. So does it have to do with her physical appearance or her issues with record labels? It has nothing to do with that. She had a very successful tour, but this is before. I think the tour, she did the tour, I think after September 11th. Yeah. Okay, but she didn't have problems with record label. Michael did. Michael is on the catalog, so you're going to have issues with that. Of course, the record label, as low as Sony is, yes, they will bring up allegations of child abuse that, you know, was created. So, of course, because they have nothing on you, they created on you and use it against you. You know, and now they want to ask, what's Invisible's true place in Jackson Legacy? Well, Invisible Soul was the best-selling album of the 2000s. So, there you go. It didn't flop, you know. And so, because this is what they do, they want to start some fire. This is the most controversial episode in the podcast history. See, they don't care about Michael's legacy in a sense of, like they claim they do. They want to ruffle feathers. They want to piss people off. This is not the time. Those days are over. What's the point? You know, because they can't accept the fact that Michael, without everything he's been through, is still light. Meanwhile, you know, other family members don't have that same props. Well, if you have two brothers that beat their wives, who in their right mind defends them? And then they talk about another thing, episode, they talk about the 30th anniversary special. Let's read. Produced by Jackson and longtime friend David Guest, the show would kick off an all-star salute to the King of Pop. Icons taking the stage to pay tribute include Gladys Knight, Ray Charles, Destiny's Child, Luther Vandross, Dionne Warwick, Whitney Houston, and Marlon Brando. Then Jackson and his brothers were reunited to perform their greatest hits before Jackson closed out the show with some of his most famous solo songs. The rights and the concert were eventually sold to CBS and it was aired during the prime time all around the world. Ratings reached 30 million people in the U.S. alone. Jackson and Guest generated a fortune of profits. The concerts would have been a legendary affair, but all was not well behind scenes, and this potentially historic event turned into a damp squib. So what went wrong? What was it a complete write-off? And how do these shows, the last concerts Michael Jackson ever performed, factor into his legacy? Our roundtable guests get together to answer these questions with sharing their own memories and reflection on the shows. The 30th anniversary special was a huge thing in 2001. I remember watching it on TV. It was the number one show in this time slot. It did what it's supposed to do. I don't know about anything about behind-the-scenes stuff. But again, I don't remember hearing anything or reading anything behind-the-scenes Scrabble during that time. I'm assuming that's made up, but, you know, that's what I mean. This podcast is not a podcast that honors Michael's very well. Not even close. So, there are fans who listen to these episodes and have something to say about what was stated in these episodes. So, I'm going to read to you what a fan said when he listened to these episodes, okay? Hold on a minute. Okay. Also, when he makes the jokes, they were laughing in the background, which makes it worse. So much was not necessary. It was off-putting to me. This fan's referring to, in the episode, supposedly Charles Thompson makes fun of Michael's face and they were laughing. Mind you, Michael has a skin disorder and an autoimmune disorder, which affects the way he looks. That was out of his control. I just want to keep that in mind. Keep you guys to think about it. Keep that in mind. There was zero positivity in the jokes made about his face. Nothing substantial of that. Charles was very disrespectful. I did not appreciate his constant slander of Michael. During the episode, He was very negative. Yeah, Charles was, who's an unattractive man, seems overweight, no upper lip, is out here making fun of a man, even regardless of what he looks like, was getting women, left and right. Women would still find him attractive. So, this, you know, chunky dude is out here disrespecting a man's face that's supposed to be, in a podcast that's supposed to honor him. All right. He completely did. Now, this is when this fan is mentioning also in one of the episodes that Charles was implying that Michael was stealing songs for the Invincible album. Okay, I don't know where he got that information from, but let me read on. He completely did. Tried to imply Michael was stealing songs as well. What kind of podcast blatantly insults the artist they're speaking on? Absolutely, the artistry is one thing, but what they started talking about, his face, was uncalled for. And Invincible sold more than 8 million records. Exactly. It sold more, well more than that. And that was so disgusting. I couldn't finish. He was insulting his voice, the music, everything. It didn't give a proper feeling of that time period at that time period. All they did was repeat tabloid nonsense. And that's what's wrong with the MJ cast. The MJ cast has become a joke. And I don't know why Taj is wasting his precious time on here. Every time they do an interview with Taj, Taj needs to be on here. But Taj can talk to Nicole. Why are we trashing a person's face? When did that become a thing? Why are we trashing a person's looks? What's that about? So I need MJ fans to wake up and stop defending, you know, certain people because they claim to be fans and start questioning stuff, because this ain't cool. And as an MJ fan, I refuse to listen to MJ cast. I don't care what episode they do next. I know that they don't care about Michael. We need to have our discernment and we need to start questioning stuff. I remember when I found out Charles was going to be in the MJ cast, I emailed them and I told them, you cannot put this guy on here. This guy does not like Michael. And they completely much dismissed what I said. And that's cool. That tells me they don't love Michael. And, you know, I don't care if this gets back to them. I just feel like, you know, people say, well, you're a fan. You should, you know, you shouldn't really talk about this. You should stick together with other fans and do this stuff. No, I don't have to do any of that. What people don't understand is I don't have to do this. I don't have to get along with certain fans. If they're going to disrespect him, I want no part of that. I want no part of what they're doing. So if they don't like it, then they can kick rocks. And I'm not here to do this unity nonsense with some fans. That's not why I do a podcast. You know, because I don't feel the same way they feel about a lot of things. I'm not in the business of trashing somebody's looks. I'm not in the business of trashing somebody's talent. When I don't sing, I don't dance. I'm not in the business of coming at a person who could have lived a normal life, but put it aside to entertain failures like Charles. And Charles is a failure. I don't want to hear he worked for the media. That's a failure. What fan in their right mind wants to work for the very media that destroyed the person they claim they love? That's a fan, and then on top of that, can't use that platform to defend him. So what is the point? You know, he goes to a podcast and craps on a person who is dead. We cannot defend it. So then go and bring his family member on the show and act like they like him. No, I want no part of that. So don't bring me this unity crap. I'm not interested. I feel we should do things for a person because you care. And on top of that, Michael's fans are everywhere. It's not just on his bakery. They're everywhere. Why should we single-handedly, why should we focus on the so-called diehard ones? How do I know they're diehards? They could be diehard fans everywhere. They don't collectively come together. We shouldn't be thinking one way about fanhood anyway. They don't collectively come together. That doesn't mean they're not here for him. Charles clearly is not one of us. He's not a fan. And what happened in 2001, I'll be honest with you, the stuff he's talking about, I never heard of. I wouldn't be surprised he made it up. The next subject, Taj did a live feed sometime in January to talk about, the updates of his documentary. Let's read what he says. This was January 15th. That was the live feed or stream. So this is from MJ, the MJVibe.com. Okay, this is what he talked about. He started to tell fans about that many Jackson families were infected by COVID during the Christmas season, and it was a very scary moment, but they all recovered. Thank God. He spoke about spreading the truth about Michael Jackson, including the tape he found of himself with Michael. Taj released a tape, audio tape of when he was 2 years old and Michael was taking care of him, was babysitting him, I guess. I think Michael was like 18, and from the 70s, and it's, I think you can watch it on YouTube. Really cute stuff. He posted it to show people the kind of person Michael was. So, and how close they were, their bond. Taj also spoke about Leaving Neverland 2, which Dan Reed is supposedly working on. No matter what, the timeline is not working, and therefore there was no base of the allegations. He also told that the only way people know about the name Dan Reed is because of Michael Jackson. He is not going to let it go, as it gives him a purpose in life. I'm not really focusing on Leaving Neverland anything. He can do a part 2, 3, 4. I mean, the guy, the first one flopped, the second one flopped, the third one flopped. Nobody cares. You can't keep shoving down nonsense down people's throats. I mean, the mere fact that the action of the play alone proved that the public don't care about these things anymore. So Dan Reed needs to move on and find another subject to talk about, because this subject here is not sticking. Okay? 4 hours of nonsense didn't stick. Regarding the Broadway musical, MJ the Musical, Todd said he did not see the show and he saw all the positive views from it, but he said that in February the press will bring back the allegations in the news, and that's exactly what happened. And a lot of bad press would be on its way, and we all need to be prepared for it. His only issue with it is that he hopes that the musical does not portray the brothers and family in a bad way. He pointed out that he still hasn't seen the show, so he cannot judge it, but he's very cautious about it. Talking about Janet's documentary, he's very excited about it, and spoke about the comment in the trailer, Guilty by Association, that's how they call it, right? And he explained that all the family had to deal with the allegations in some sort and dealing with the repercussions they had. During the live session, he confirmed that his documentary series is his top priority for 2022. If it really comes out in 2022, it will only be the near end of the year. He feels that the series True Friends Marathons will give the chance for people to understand who Michael Jackson was. The documentary is officially going to be recalled The Rewriting History. Now, rewriting, not writing, but writing like right and wrong, okay, instead of The Truth Run Marathons. The play on words means a lot to Taj and to all who are participating to the documentary. So, that's pretty much what it was. I'm gonna tell you what I think. Quickly, let me state, let's not give Taj a hard time with this docuseries. I think that I did a lot of thinking because I, like I told you, this is a second recording of the original episode, and I was going to upload the original episode, and then I went on Twitter, and that's because that was the day people were watching the Jackson documentary, the second part, and yeah, she, I don't even know how to put it into words. I got a lot of explaining to do. I personally have a lot of work to do. It's not what you think. She was taken out of context. Let's put it this way. Her words were taken out of context. And I said to myself, you know what? I have to record the episode again. Damn. And that's what happened. So I'm not gonna give Taj a hard time with his docuseries, and you shouldn't either. Let him take his time. Whenever he's ready, we'll listen to it. I will be here. I will support it. It was something I wanted to. Oh, okay. I said I talked about the Dan Reed thing. There was something else I wanted to talk about, but I forgot, y'all. When he talked about Okay, I think that's it. Yeah, he's gonna spend. Yeah, it's not gonna come out this year, and that's okay. We know the documentary's not coming out this year. I think people are talking about his aunt's documentary for probably majority of the year, because it's a lot to unpack. I don't think you should watch that one time. I think you need to watch that a couple of times, because there's a lot of things that she talk about that she finally, like, we finally got her side of the story on certain things. So I don't think that's going to be a while. So I think Tasha take his time with it. And if you didn't get a chance to donate to his GoFundMe for his docuseries, please do that. And also do that for Jin Chohan's upcoming documentary on Michael Call. What's it called? Oh, no. I forgot. The Chief of the Media or something like that. I'm so sorry. I forgot the name of the his documentary. But donate to that, too. Michael's children did interviews. Paris and BG. Now, BG did an interview for way back in October to a UK program, but Entertainment Tonight did a rundown of it, and it was like 1.6 million on their YouTube channel. And then Paris did a few interviews to promote a movie. I don't know who's going to see it, because I don't even know what it's called. I didn't watch any of it, because I was like, let me watch Wheel of Fortune. So, I kind of like ignored it, but I'm bringing this up because people are still interested in what his kids do, and they have a power. Janet has this too, because if you studied what happened to the documentary, when her documentary came on TV, you know what I'm talking about. They have a power, and Michael's kids have this power, and I'm tired of it getting diminished because they're using it for the wrong reason. This entertainment business is useless. You don't need it. But I said what I said. I hope that they see their power and they recognize their power, because people are listening to them. They're not listening to TMZ. They're listening to them, because they live that life. Just the mere fact that Blanket's interview was literally 1.6 million views on the ET's YouTube channel says a lot. Anything Tonight's YouTube channel says a lot. Also, ET Canada did a video of Janet's relationship with Michael that's pushing 300,000 views on YouTube. But I'm not going to watch anything dealing with that, of anybody's opinion about her documentary, until I see the whole thing. Once I see the whole thing, and yes, we are, the next episode will be a review of the of her documentary, where I explained everything. What happened? And why I had to do a second episode of this. I can't tell you on here, because I want to leave that for the next one. But that is why. The next topic I want to talk about is Michael's friends speak. Michael has two of Michael's friends, Brighton James and Donnie Osman, spoke about Michael in recent interviews. I'm going to read to you Brighton James. Now, he is the one, if you ever watched the show Family Matters, he played Little Richie on the show, and then he grew up, became a teenager, I guess he had some kind of normal life, and then he came back on television to play the character Devon on the show Young and the Restless. So, and he won an Emmy doing that show. Now, when he was a kid, he met Michael through Michael's people at the time, and he developed a close friendship with him. He became friends with Michael's cousins, who he's still friends with to this day. I completely forgot to mention, condolences also, Michael lost two relatives, an aunt and a cousin, in recent days. So my condolences to them and their families. And my prayers to them. I'm sorry for their loss. So I just wanted to mention that. He lost his aunt, who's Keith's mother, Keith Jackson's mother, and Simone Rios' mother, Michael's cousin, Elaine, they call her Peaches, passed away days ago, according to a GoFundMe link that Big Al posted on Facebook. So, my condolences to their surviving family members, and may God, may they rest in peace. So let me tell you, I just want to, now let me get back to Brighton, who's friends with two of Michael's cousins, Elijah and Levine Jackson. Those are his best friends. And he talks, he mentions that on here in the interview. So he did an interview with a podcast hosted by actor Maurice Bernard. He is on the show General Hospital. If you're into soap operas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And he was asked about Michael. I'm going to read to you what he said. Let me get it. And pay attention carefully to what he says in this interview. Let's talk about Michael. Bernard began, then recalled a commercial that James did with the King of Pop. When James was 2.5, he went to a print job for LA Gear. Jackson had his own shoes at the time, that's true, James explained, but he didn't get to meet him then. Taking Bernard back to, in time to when he first was introduced to music, he stared, it was all rock. Then it was right before, around 2 years ago, I discovered Michael Jackson. I thought I was Michael. If someone were to talk to me long enough, I would start singing and dancing. Then it all began. A woman that started working on his show, Family Members, when James was about 5 or 6, happened to be a receptionist for Jackson's production company and delivered a letter from him to his idol. And Jackson wrote the letter back. A year later, along with Raymond Simone, James was asked to present Jackson with the NAACP award. He and his dad got to go backstage, where James met a couple of Jackson's cousins, who to this day are like brothers to him. Jackson invited James' family to the ranch. From that time on, he would just stay in contact with me. I know his goal was to make sure that I was having a good time and having fun being a child in the entertainment industry. James stressed how important that was to Jackson because he didn't have that. He remembered witnessing how impossible it was for Jackson to have a normal life, and explained that the singer enjoyed being around children because they treated him normally, unlike some adults that weren't authentic with him. Even the biggest name celebrities I've seen around him, he went on, they could be one way in front of him and then a different way, you know, because there is no one bigger than him. Whereas when a kid asks what's wrong with your nose, it looks funny. To him, he liked that. Kids are innocent and they are real and they're honest. And these are the only people in his life that would be like that with him. Let me stop there. Isn't that telling? So isn't it weird how some of these fools grow up to be, some of these kids that hung out with him grow up to be fools and turn on him like that? You know, you lose your innocence when you get older. We all know that. And he's right, you know. They didn't treat him that way. People think he hung out with kids because of something sexual. No, he hung out with, I mean, who thinks like this? Yeah, creepy people. He hung out with children because they didn't treat him like a piece of shit. They didn't treat him like he wasn't a human being. Okay, Bernard realized and stated, and if he slept in bed with a child, it's normal to him because he's a child. To which James agreed and shared that Jackson's room was 2 stories tall. It was never just, you know, it was never just you and him. There were also people there. The first time we stayed at the ranch with my dad, he invited me and my dad. Stay in the room with all of us. His cousins were there. Wrapping up the talk, James touched base on the controversy surrounding the superstar. I knew two of the kids who made claims about him, and then it comes out publicly that they were told to force a lie by their parents. It's been tough to sit and watch. So, you know, it has been tough to see and watch, to watch people lie on a person like that, that was good to them. But, you know, when you're not raised well, you would do something like that. And that's what you would do. So, you know, we say these things, you know, this is stuff Michael said before, countless times. He said this before about his life and what he'd been through, why he hung out with kids. It seems like when other people say the same thing, it's like, okay, I see it now, but Michael said this already. You know, He said this already. So why is this brand new to y'all? Because you don't listen to him. That's why. Now, next friend of Michael's that spoke about him was Donny Osmond. Donny Osmond did an interview with the Drew Barrymore show and talked about his time with Michael. And I want you to listen to what he says. You can disagree or agree with him. I really don't care. But just listen to what he says, okay? Hold on. Let me get the clip ready. Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
We would laugh. We'd call each other.
Okay. Hold on. Let me do it again. I'm sorry, y'all. It was unmuted. Okay, give me a minute. Okay.
Michael Jackson and I had a great relationship. We would laugh. We'd call each other on the phone. And we'd laugh about the similarities of our families and the difference. The last time I spoke with him, he said, "I just need some normalcy in my life." I said, "Come to my home. Let your kids swim with my kids. No one will know you're there." He said, "I think I need to do that." And he never took me up on it the last time I spoke with him. So looking at that and all the other celebrities and peers and whatever, colleagues that have influenced my life and I've been around, I see so many people have lost it because they don't know how to balance.
Yeah.
I love the adulation. I love the standing ovations at the end of a show. I love that. I eat it up. And it's a drug, and I need it. But I also need to go home and be a father and a husband, a grandpa.
So, there you go. Now, I know that people say, well, maybe Michael did know how to balance. Well, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I mentioned earlier that, you know, Michael... John Branca was before he became Michael's executor, was Michael's, was Michael's music lawyer. I mean, what music lawyer you know gets upset if you want to date someone he don't approve? Who's he? I mean, you want to go home and take care of your family, but every time you go home, you got to deal with who's in your house? Why is this fan in here? Stuff like that. Where is the balance to say, hey, enough of this. Let the man be. Let the man have some type of privacy. I don't think he knew, in a sense, what to do with that. He can't say no to people. And that's what his fame has become. You know, he loved it. I mean, let's be honest. He loved that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with loving that. But if he had a good wife, and you know he never did, let's not play this game. Michael never married good women. They wouldn't tolerate that. They would have said, "Look, you gotta do. We gotta be nice, but we gotta say, close that door. Next time, later, we can set up a date where fans can come together and hang out." That's what a good wife would do for him. Let's be honest. He deserved that. And you know those two women he married didn't care for that. They saw opportunity. They never looked out for his legacy or his best interest. I mean, even then, like, happened, they're both silent. They are silent. But guess who spoke out? It was the girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, who spoke out and defended Michael. Not just Stephanie Mills. It was all kinds. They all stood up for him. Okay? I'm about to interview a woman who was friends with Michael. We gonna talk about that. So, you know, that's what I mean. Donny Osmond was just telling the truth. And if anyone is upset by what he said, they need to do some growing up. That's just a fact. And I thank Donny for saying that and looking out for Michael. The last topic I want to talk about is some nonsense. And usually... You know, look, I'm all for people that want to have a great career in the entertainment business. We all, deep down, I'm not here to trash anybody that wants to have a career. Go have your career. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to compare anybody to the king, especially if it's the ever overrated Beyoncé Knowles. Now... What happened? Sometime in late December, Jay-Z did an interview. I want to say it's an interview. It's like a conversation he had with Alicia Keys on Twitter Spaces. And Jay-Z decided, you know, I'm going to go and say something stupid. Because, you know, let's be honest, that's what he did. And this is what he said. I'm gonna read to you what he said. I entitled it, The Nonsense. Jay-Z shares his opinion about Beyonce being compared to Michael Jackson. Bae is going to kill... He's going to be... that's the name he calls his wife. Bae is going to be mad at this for saying this, but Michael Jackson never had a Coachella. She's an evolution of him because she watched him at 9. And the kids are the same. Now, what is he talking about? Let's break this down. Michael never had a Coachella. A Coachella is a music festival. Michael had a Coachella everywhere he went. It's just, this was this nonsense that made social media go, hold on, dog. So let's go. The reaction. I'm going to read to you a series of tweets of people coming at this weirdo after he said this nonsense. Okay? Because we have to talk about it, okay? Let's go. Doesn't the constant comparing of other artists to Michael Jackson further prove that he is the standard? Don't start. Jay-Z is comparing Beyonce to Michael Jackson when it comes to Coachella, but Michael left before various avenues of digital streaming were created. He was pulling Coachella reaction at any given concert without social media and entertainment platforms. That's a fact. And Jay-Z knows that. He grew up in the Thriller era. He knows. Okay, when someone is as great as you proclaim to be, you don't have to mention other people's names to prove it. The fact Michael still gets compared to everyone to this day just shows his legacy and impact is unmatched. Jay-Z added fuel to the fire with his tired Beyonce / MJ debate and the debate about the new artist surpassing the greats. It's always Michael Jackson's name they bring up. You don't have to bring his name or any legend's name into a conversation to validate someone else. I agree. There's no reason for this. This is the second crazy Jay-Z quote I saw today. Coachella is people gathering to see a bunch of artists. MJ only needed MJ. We gotta be real. MJ is bigger than Coachella everywhere he went, even when he wasn't performing. Ain't nobody on his level. People forget how big Michael Jackson was, bro. Iggy was shutting down cities and getting awards from kings and princesses and escorting by police and militaries. Like, come on, dog. Some of these people were alive during this time and they say the dumb shit. Look, I said this. They were. They were alive. They witnessed this. Now, why are they saying crazy stuff that they know isn't true? So, there we go. Michael didn't need to do Coachella. The premiere of his music videos alone were worldwide events that stopped entire families in their tracks to witness. People of this generation still have no clue how big Michael was and always will be. No one, not even Bae, would do that, period. As Whitney Houston once said, when someone gives you 5 decades of their life to music to entertain you nonstop, you must give him his flowers. There will be nobody ever like him again. Michael Jackson is the standard and always will be. Dear Beyonce, a team and fans, Michael Jackson is not a marketing strategy. Thanks. Yes, he did. At some radio station back in 2013, I believe so, he said, she's the next MJ. Now they're with the surpassing MJ. I truly think that Jay and Bae are paying some media outlets for all of this. I have to agree. I've always believed that was the case. Let's be honest. Beyonce knows that her husband says stupid shit like this. And she don't stop him. And she can get mad all she want. She getting mad because she don't want her name dragged into this. But her husband do this shit. Okay? So, she does it too and she knows it. The only black artist is this fool, tomfoolery. You never hear white artists talking about they surpassed the Beatles or Elvis. It never happens. It's wrong as F and disrespectful as F. And I'm sick of this ish. Michael Jackson has been dead for over a decade, but y'all keep comparing your fate to him. Should tell you he's forever and forever the standard, and it eats y'all up that your opinions can't change or take away from his global influence and reach. He's dead, but giving y'all sleepless nights. The fandom can't even get lemonade to chart, but want to speak on the Michael Jackson. And then that's a quote that they retweeted a tweet and made a quote. The tweet they retweeted is from the chart data that stated, Michael Jackson's Thriller has now sold over 500,000 units in the U.S. this year, outperforming its 2020 total album. That's crazy. Isn't that amazing that even after everything, and that's not going to happen to any Beyoncé album 40 years from now. Like, 40 years from now, we're not even going to be thinking about this lady's album. I know I'm not. Anyway, notice Michael Jackson and his people don't have to try to prove he is better than someone. When you have to do this, that shows you're not the GOAT. The GOAT, or the greatest of all time, will just show, and that was Michael Jackson. Let's see the next hot person and see who that person is going to be compared to MJ. Let me read that again. Let's see the next hot person and see who that person is going to be compared. MJ. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, if Beyoncé is great, be great. You don't need to bring Michael Jackson up to this. You know, Michael never did that. Michael didn't compare himself to James Brown. He just did his thing. And that's why I think we MJ fans never even thought of, oh, Michael's better than James Brown. Because Michael was so great. We didn't think like that. We still don't think like that. Right? Okay. You know what I mean? The whole Michael Jackson never had Coachella thing really shows how disrespected Michael is. That man did unimaginable numbers when it came to touring. You can tell others feel threatened by him when they always have to compare their fans to him in such idiotic ways. This Beyoncé versus Michael Jackson debate further proves my theory that the people around Beyoncé are the reason why some people are turned off by her. Her machine, including Jay-Z, make grand platitudes regarding her and is off-putting. It's not only off-putting, it hurts her in the end. She's not that talented to be on levels of Michael or Janet. And I'm sorry, I don't want to hear she's a good singer. Okay, she's an okay singer. She's an okay singer. But she's not as good or as talented as the people before her. She just isn't. And if you don't like that, oh well. I see Solange needs to pay you a visit. That's referring to the time Solange beat up Jay-Z in the elevator because they found out that Jay-Z was cheating on Beyoncé for another woman. Beyoncé isn't even ahead of her peers like Taylor Swift, Adele, Justin Bieber, Rihanna, yet y'all want to act like she's up there with MJ. The delusion is real. Michael Jackson never needed a damn Coachella. The man did music video premieres on network television. What the F is he even saying, child? Hashtag Michael Jackson has been charting like crazy ever since Jay-Z disrespected him on Christmas Day. Jackson gets two of three music videos on the iTunes charts, knocking off some of Christmas videos. Who's the greatest? It's not Beyoncé. The results, and what that person said is true. The results. Michael Jackson album/song/videos take over iTunes pop charts after Jay-Z said Michael never had a coach. And this is what happened. Number 99, Thriller. Number 52, The Essential. Number 41, Number Ones. Number 33, Justified Christmas. Number 26, The Thriller music video. Number 69, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The Reality. So, who's the best-selling album artist of all time? Solo. Michael Jackson is number one for that, but overall, he's number two. And of course, above him is the shitty Beatles. But anyway, number two, he's there. But then, where is Beyoncé at? Number 62. She's number 62 yet. She's compared to Michael. Michael Jackson is a global icon. Nobody's as big as him. Nobody will ever be. The disrespect needs to stop. The MJ funeral was 2.5 billion views. And 1993 Super Bowl show was 91 million. The Oprah interview he did in 1993 was 62 million. The Motown 25 was 47 million. Beyonce's Coachella views, 458,000. That's not even 500,000. Y'all, please. Stop comparing today's artists to this man. It's a disrespect to those artists and to Michael. On top of that, The Weeknd had an album out, and guess what? They compared him to Michael, too. And here goes dumbass Timbaland. Saying, oh, this guy's doing the next Thriller. Timbaland, you keep opening your mouth. You've proven to people you're a fraud, okay? You are one of the best producers in hip-hop R&B. You don't need to be this ridiculous. But you're ridiculous. Anyway, Michael's the great. He's the greatest. And no one's going to take that from him. So, like I said, the next episode will be a review of the Janet Jackson documentary. I have to watch the whole thing from the beginning to end, and then I'll tell you what I think about it, and what would the documentary mean for the legacy of her legacy and the family's legacy and Michael's legacy, and what does this mean for Taj's docuseries and any docuseries or documentary done on Michael, and how really Taj is, how he's going to approach his uncle, the documentary on his uncle. Also, the episode after that, I will be interviewing a person who knew Michael since 1971. I was meaning to interview her last year, but yeah. Anyway, we are going to still do the interview. She wants to get her story too. I want to tell her story. I think everybody needs to know about her story. I hope it turns out good. That's all I hope. I hope everything goes out well, because I really, really want to tell her story. After that interview, I'm looking into taking some time off for personal reasons. And so I'll come back, you know, better than ever. I'll be reading. I'll be doing reviews. I hope you guys enjoy all the interviews or all the episodes I've done for the podcast since 2020. If you haven't already, share it. Get it out there. Let people know about it. This is not the podcast where we can come here and bash Michael's looks or bash Michael's phase or bash Michael's choices or bash Michael this or that. That's not happening here. I don't allow it. I won't allow it. And don't ever think that you're expecting me to criticize Michael. I'm one of those people. Michael can't go wrong in my eyes. And if you feel the same way, you're going to love my podcast. Okay, so I hope you guys have a good day. You take care of yourself. And you keep warm out there. You try not to get the coronavirus. Please be careful with everything with that. With all that, and be good to yourself and others. Peace.